Blog Talk Radio.
Hi, everybody. Welcome to the Neil and Kristen Baker Psychic Hour. Today, I feel like I'm talking in a vampire voice or something. Feeling a little bit low today. Today, we are taking your calls for on-air readings and discussing the symbols in our lives. So I think we have a few callers in the queue. I think we'll get to our callers first. Neil, what do you think?
That's fine.
Okay, so let's bring on, I think we have a caller from, looks like a foreign number, so we're going to take that caller first. Hi. Caller, are you there?
Hello.
Hi.
Hello.
Who's this?
Hi, this is Anshul.
Oh, hi, Anshul. How are you?
I'm good. How about you?
Fine, thanks. Well, give us your birthday again, please, Anshul.
Yeah, it's June 20, 1973.
Okay. And Anshul, what's your question?
My question today it remains same even after 6 months. I am calling it. It's related to my finances and the change in my job.
Okay, are you still working in the same job you were working previously? Aren't you in Pakistan or something? Or where are you located right now? Is Pakistan right?
No, Oman.
Oman, okay, sorry. But you're from India, correct?
Yeah.
And you're still working there. And so specifically regarding your job and finances, are you not happy in the specific position that you're in?
Yeah, I mean, I'm not getting my salary for last 4 months.
Can you repeat that once again? Because we're giving it a little sound problem.
Yeah, I'm not getting salary for last 3-4 months now.
You're not getting paid?
Yeah.
For what reason?
Our company is into some kind of financial problem.
Okay, and I don't remember what you told him last time about the job. Didn't we talk about, I don't remember, teaching? I know your wife's a teacher, right? Didn't we talk about teaching last time?
Yeah.
And that was supposed to be forthcoming, but that's not happened. So,
You're working,
and he's not getting
the company you're working for in the last 3 months, you have not been paid because of some vague explanation about financial problems, and you're continuing to work for them?
Two reasons for that. One is that I have not been able to find something yet in India. And second thing is that if I leave, then probably they will not pay my dues.
Well, do you have any specifics as to what the nature of their financial difficulties are? And is there an attorney representing you? What protection do you have?
As of now, not yet. Since if I lodge a complaint with the government authorities there, they will block all the funds and maybe accounts and all that, and then maybe there's a chance of payment. I can't say that there will be payment because I find to my understanding, they hardly have any fund in bank also, because bank is not financing the project as of now. So I have just been keeping patience that maybe if something works out and the finances goes through, then maybe I will be paid. Rather, everybody will be paid because no one is getting paid.
Well, it doesn't, you know, after 3 months, and so it doesn't, this is not a very smart situation you're in.
Yeah.
You know, aside from, you know, being almost, it almost sounds like blackmail, that you can't be paid, and if you put action against them, they're going to block you. All of these tactics. You should at least seek an attorney's advice and get some legal grounding in terms of the parameters of what you're experiencing, because if you continue to work for them and it's now been 3 months, you're better off, and you're afraid of losing your dues or whatever, you've got to really seek legal counsel there to protect your rights and maybe even take them to... How much money at this point do you feel they owe you?
It's around $25,000.
$25,000, he said.
Oh,
now, I have a question, though. Who's paying your... Do they pay your living expenses since you're on assignment there, or are you paying those?
No, it's the salary only that is being paid.
So you have to pay for your living expenses, and you're paying to live
yeah.
there, and you're not getting paid
yeah.
for your
well,
work. That's not good.
No, you really
yeah.
need... You know, the question... Our advice is to seek legal counsel. They don't know you're seeking it, but you need to seek somebody's counsel to give them at least maybe an hour free consultation in terms of your situation. So you need an employment or a business attorney or an employment attorney for your rights there, because that's just ludicrous that they're not paying you for 3 months. You don't even know if they're going to pay you. You're waiting, hoping. That's no way to live.
Right.
They already owe you $25,000. It's going up. They're in financial difficulty.
Are there, I mean, in terms of employment laws and things like that, I'm sure they're different than they are here in the United States, but is there protection for this type of...
There's a protection by the government there. So if I file a complaint with the Ministry of Manpower, then they will take due action against the company.
So it sounds like that would be the way to go, too.
Yeah,
filing a complaint.
You know,
I don't know if private lawyer is going
to... You know, it's hard for us to give legal... We can't
especially
give legal
when
advice.
He's in a foreign country. You know?
Yeah.
I mean,
we can't do that. But we can say to you through common sense... what our
yeah.
suggestions are, which is what we're doing, you know, so that's our common sense approach. And so that you seek this legal counsel and get protected and not be intimidated by their threats. That's one. Two, you know, in the life predicament you're in, that's different. That's more of our jurisdiction, that you're in a deep conflict in life. And you're trying to make your life, improve your life, and with some sense of security. Your code itself is a difficult code, somewhat to work with, because, you know, being a numbers person as you probably are, the attitude of the 6 and the 2 and the 0 is a broken up 8. 8, in our sense of interpretation, is a money energy. It's money. It's broken up by a 6 and a 2. And beside that, the next number is a 0. And if you look at their narrative interpretation of these numbers, and you're sort of you're a compounded person, Ansel, 28-10-1 is your complete code after you add up your birth date, and it's compounded.
He has the 6-2 and the 2-8. I mean, it's
yeah.
a reflection.
So you have that energy, and not only that, but your year is a difficult year. There's no eights. In other words, there's no eights in your number. And if we equate 8 to money, you're lacking that 8. It's all broken up, so you have trouble. It's a karmic situation for you. Now, that alone doesn't explain your position, nor does it does it hamper you from moving out of it? There are ways you can move out of it, which one of which we suggested in terms of taking legal action, because you don't want to walk away from that. That's a good chunk of money, and you're owed it. And I don't know if there's going to be class action. I don't know what is the circumstances in the near future for that, but you've got to take care of yourself now. So in going to a legal counsel, there might be a way to excuse yourself from this job with still under the guarantee that you're going to be paid and start making a living, unless you're living off of vast resources that are sustaining you. But even then, those are going to be rapidly depleted if you're not receiving any kind of income. You know, it's strange, Ansel, because your situation, if we look at it karmically, there might be something going on that is in the energy of your life that has opened up this conflict. And it's manifested as this situation. But that doesn't mean that the depth of it isn't coming from something that derives from something much deeper in your life code, which it probably does. Was it Ansel that was maybe wanting to teach?
Yeah, and his wife is a teacher. I think, I can't remember. Do you remember what was said on the last show, Ansel?
I had inquired about that. I wanted to move back to India and get into teaching and training.
Right. And so remembering correctly.
Yeah.
So what was that? Because I don't specifically recall that you might.
Yeah. So you had suggested that I should not leave before the turn of New Year. I mean, not till December. After that, I should consider.
Okay. And then, so we're 3 months into the new year, but you're still there.
Yeah. I have been trying for a new job, but nothing has manifested.
You have not left.
What kind of job?
And meanwhile, this money got blocked. So that sense of financial freedom or of help of having that fund for 6 to 8 months, if I want to get into some new kind of career, that is also lost.
Well, and so it doesn't, you know, something's wrong if you're working 3 months without getting paid. What are you living on? Do you have
I am using the savings for the last 9 months that I worked there. From that saving, I am using a...
Well, that savings wasn't really, those were savings. They're not really meant to be distinguished or
lived off of.
Yeah, exhausted by living off of it. That was your savings.
Expenses.
Now it's a point of that you never really earned it because you're just throwing it away to live while you're working.
Well, and not
it
getting
doesn't make
paid.
Sense. So now you're still working. You're not getting paid. And the money that you earned previously is all going out the window.
Yeah.
You're in a situation you can't stay in. You can't stay in this situation.
But he needs to find other work.
You need legal attention. You need to maybe tutor. You need to be more, maybe this might sound insensitive of us, but you need to be more assertive in your search for a job. You know, we don't know the exact hardship. We aren't saying you aren't looking, but by golly, you've got to work. And you got to do anything you can to work so you don't exhaust all your finances, your savings, and just you're just throwing them out. You're just, what was the point of working if they're just being thrown out? It's like you're on a raft and you're surviving on this little raft when you need a boat. And pretty soon your savings will go down. It's just not sensible. So you need to go, you need to legal action. Don't be intimidated by these people. You can do it all undercover and find out where your rights are, how you can be protected.
Is it possible for you to go back to India? Because what I see also as problematic is, you know, there's a family at home. So he's paying double living expenses, living in this foreign location and at home. So is it possible to go back home and still pursue the money owed to you and look for a job at home and then eliminate the extra expenses and just leave the job?
Yeah, I mean, there would be no option by the end of this month. I just wanted to pursue and maybe file a complaint before leaving. But I don't know, once I leave the country, then whether any help will be available.
Yeah, you need to file a complaint ASAP, especially if you are, you know, spending money on both of these residences. It's not good. So you want to file as soon as possible, because if you can't fight it from India, then it's like going to be fruitless to file. I mean,
yeah, you need to file it like now. And you need to do it as soon as possible, Ansel. And I don't know, procrastinating is not going to work. The hurricane's coming and you're just sitting. Don't do that. And you're working for them, hoping they're going to pay you. It's been 3 months. And if they're having financial problems, I don't even know how this company would be able to pay everybody off.
Right.
I mean, you know, there'd have to be some kind of windfall.
Mm.
Or they're, I don't know what's tying up their finances, but my God, this is not a, you need to be active here. Don't see.
Proactive.
Yeah, you need
active
to be
and proactive.
Proactive and proactive, and don't look at psychics right now. You be aware of what you need to do on a concrete physical level.
But we're here to help, so check in with us. I mean, we're here to help
you
on a concrete physical level. So
that's all true.
Calling the show is, you know, not a problem.
But our determination, you know, we can't. Our interpretation of events is not going to save you right now. What's going to save you right now is being concrete and actually setting yourself up to get some legal attention on this matter and not being intimidated by them and fighting that fight. And then from there, locking in your securities and moving, maybe perhaps moving back to India.
Yeah.
Okay, Anshul, we have to move on to our next caller, but do check in with us.
Yeah, sure.
Soon,
sure,
and let
you.
Us know what's going on. Okay, thanks. Yeah. Hopefully that helps a little bit today. Okay, take care. Bye-bye. Okay, we have Michelle. Hi, Michelle.
Hey, Neil and Kristen. How are you guys doing today?
We're doing fine. 10/17/74. She's a 30 equals 3. What's new?
What's new is I wanted to ask you about bird nests. Bird nests.
Bird nests, okay.
Yeah, because about a year ago, I spoke with you guys, and you told me that if I saw a bird nest, that would mean abundance. And coincidentally, like the day later, I saw a bird nest.
I remember this whole
thing,
yes.
Yeah, and then coincidentally, and I kind of forgot about that, and I never really saw a bird nest, but about exactly almost 1 year later, I saw another big bird nest that caught my eye. So
okay.
I wanted to know if that's
attached to the original sight of the bird nest, the psychic vision of a bird nest, you seeing a bird nest tied to abundance. That's
right.
What you're asking? Okay.
Right.
So in terms of the first bird nest, was there any forthcoming abundance that was tied to that vision?
Yeah. A couple months later, I did get some work where I got a bunch of money that I wasn't expecting.
Okay, so that happened.
Not a bunch, but I mean, I got money.
But,
I got money that I didn't
amount,
see coming.
More than you thought you were going to get. So
that
validates that vision as being true. Seeing another bird nest, I don't know, Neil. I don't know.
Well, you see, not everyone who sees a bird nest is going to have money or abundance. Not everyone who sees that. That comes from a deeper journey backward in time to a past life where you probably were involved in either a native culture, you know, a tribal energy that believed in such omens or sightings. But there's something that compelled us to explain to you that the bird's nest and abundance were equivalently labeled and synonymous. Linked because it was something to do with your energy. Now, let me ask you something. Is your mother one alive?
Mm-mm.
And if she isn't, then
no,
she's
yes,
dead.
She is.
But if she isn't, is she ill right now?
She's not alive.
No.
I didn't think she was.
So there's a call. So what
memory.
We're moving forward to is that the bird's nest is now coupled with a message from your
mother. Hello, I'm sorry. I'm sorry, I didn't hear you for one moment. No, my mother's not alive.
Right,
yeah.
And so,
so
go ahead, repeat what you said, Neil.
So what we're involved with now is that the bird's nest is not just the sign of a symbol leading to abundance, but it is a sign from your mother.
Oh.
Your mother somehow is prompting these sightings, just opposed to the to just birds building a nest and you seeing them and we're equating it with some kind of folklore interpretation. Oh, you'll have abundance. Now there's something to do with the mother, and there's something to do with the difficulty of some kind of will that may be in the past, but a difficulty with money preceding her death. Was there any such situation there?
Yes.
Preceding her death or
proceeding
afterward.
See, and that money problem that your mother left or was left in unattendance to its firm direction upon her demise and crossover, there's something she owes you, regardless of whether it's with the will or not. There's something in her soul that owes you some gratitude in kind regarding money, and she's signified it as a symbol of a bird's nest that you would cite.
So you had, if I'm remembering right, Michelle, you had a difficult relationship with your mother.
I did, yes.
So she's communicating something for some reason.
So you see, what happened probably, your mother crossed over and was greeted with judgments regarding her treatment or her relationship with you. Then from the astral realm, she was prompted to try to solve things like that movie Ghost. She tried to
solve things from that area.
Now, we have to wipe away the animosity and the anger and dissension and all these problems. We have to wipe that away right now because your mother, crossing over, probably was read a long tablet saying, hey, you didn't do right. Now listen, you can go back in time. You can be reborn in the earth again and pay off this karma, or you can take your little soul and start working towards helping her. You have a choice. What do you want to do? Your mother probably said, wow, boy, did I mess up. I'll tell you what, I'm going to take my soul, the soul that I am, and I'm going to try to put back some money in her place. That's what I'll try to do. I know she probably hates me, and we've had problems, and I'm responsible, so that's what I'm going to do. Now, that's what's happening. You don't need to sign up on, you know, I love my mother list. You don't need to do that. She's just saying that part of the sign of the bird's nest is she's doing that. And if it's money your way, you know, don't, what do you call it, with the horse's mouth, what's that?
Don't look a gift horse in the mouth.
Yeah, don't,
right,
yeah,
right.
So, you know, you don't. That's what's happening. Now, there's going to be something regarding a swimming pool or a pool of water. So if we go to a swimming pool or a pool of water, what are your recollections of such things?
At our house, we used to have a swimming pool. It was above ground, and it's weird, and it broke. So one of the nice memories I have with my mom is my dad filled it with water, and it froze, and we had an ice skating rink.
There you go. You see, a broken, see, and your mother just, what, she transferred energy to me, and I assembled it into a narrative. She gave me that story. And then I assembled it into a noun, swimming pool, body of water, because she's sending a message to us, and then you fulfilled the narrative. But the message of the pool was from her. So the theme is obvious, broken, repaired in terms of an ice skating rink. So what she's saying to you is, our relationship was broken, Michelle. I take responsibility. In fact, I have no choice. I came up here and I was told I was responsible. So I'm going to turn that into a frozen ice rink. And the pool is like the bird's nest. It's concaved and there's eggs in it. So you think of a bird's nest, which is basically made up of dead twigs, dead trees, dead things. They form it into a concaved oval-shaped nest, and you think, oh boy, is that a coffin? No, there's eggs in it that hatch and new life. The pool's broken, Oh, it's done for? No. Fill it with water, turns into an ice skating rink. So you have some money coming your way. It's going to happen again.
So this was my question. Every time Michelle sees a bird's nest, because I think she was wondering, do I get, every time I see a bird's nest, do I get something? I mean,
no.
It's...
Don't go to
that was my
aviary.
Little...
Don't go to an aviary and think that
aviary.
You, aviary. I mean, and think that if you spot 10 bird's nests, you're going to be, you know,
obviously how... if she's seeking the bird's nest out. But I mean, this was kind of you know,
this is not a plan.
Serendipitous. So
yeah.
If there's a serendipitous sighting of a bird's nest, does that mean she's always going to get a
no.
bird's nest? No,
no,
I don't think
this is
so.
Not, you're not going to be in Forbes magazine.
But
it's not happening.
But on this level of interpretation, yes, there's something connected that's, you know, beyond just a sighting of a bird's nest. There happens to be, and it has to do with her tribal past life.
You know, we could talk about 10,000, 15,000, you know, and skip some bounds one to the other, things like that, 8,000. You know, through work, through this, through that. So who's a person who was talented or semi-talented or amateurishly talented in painting?
That's me.
Yeah, that's what I remember. I remember.
Okay, well, I don't remember.
This is memory, but I don't know. I feel like I remember that.
Kristen remembers things. My memory is about the size of a pea.
No, that's not true. That's not true.
I don't remember though. I'm getting messages. It's a rapid succession of images coming from your mother. She's rolling it out, you know, in like a pizza dough, and she's just showing it to me. And so the painting, it was probably her way of saying, I'm here, I'm helping you, whether you like it or not, I'm going to help you, and I'm going to try to send you some blessings.
Okay. So this money that is probably to come. Do you see any time frame for that?
Well, maybe by May. I mean, we could say between now and May, and this is a guess, between now and May, you could come into $8,000. I don't know how that, are you working?
I am working. I am working.
She's a translator.
How long would it take you to make $8,000 in your job?
It would take a few months.
Really?
Well, I don't know. Maybe that's a sign that since it's accurate between now and May that you could make $8,000 on a regular basis with your job. Maybe that's her way of saying I'm gonna double that for you. I don't know. You know, I'll tell you one thing, and this might aggravate your allusions to what you've got to look around you with. I'm gonna drive you crazy. But butterflies, they're coming in, and they're another sign. Of course, there's a metamorphosis with the butterfly. Well, egg to bird, worm to butterfly.
Metamorphosis, yeah. Transition versus transformation. That was our last show.
Yeah.
But, okay, so butterflies.
Did anybody have a butterfly collection or anybody enthused about butterflies in your past?
We had one particularly, a very pretty one, like pinned in a box on the wall.
Okay. Oh. So you see, we don't need to keep doing this. It's obvious. There's a psychic thing going here and there's communication. So, you know, your question, when am I going to get it? Your anxiousness here. You're going to get it. You know, I don't know, a couple of months, just do your work.
So
it will
just,
come in.
I have a question for Michelle. We have to move on to the next caller, but I want to ask you about the health piece, because last time there was something about going to a doctor, making sure everything was okay. Did you do that?
I did not do that yet. I'm looking into resources to do that. That's
you
my
don't
next
have
goal. But, right.
Okay. Well, make sure you do. Hopefully there's something. I mean, you're self-employed. Isn't there a way to get Obamacare or something?
Well, probably, yeah, but I have to look into it more. I have to look into it more because that's not available to me right now. Yeah.
Yeah, definitely follow through on that.
No, absolutely, I want to.
Okay, well, keep in touch with us.
Yeah, you know, I mean, Michelle, you just got words from the other side, so that's a good reading, and you don't be nonchalant about it. Just take it in. And do your work, and there should be some money coming in. I don't know, you know, that start with that note first. That's enough.
Okay. That was great. So thank
Take
you
care.
So much for your time. You too.
Thanks.
Bye.
Bye. Okay, Valeska. Okay, hi.
Hi.
10-18-79, Neil. 32-5. Hi.
10-14.
Oh, 10-14. I'm sorry. Why did I write 10-18? I know it's 10-14. Sorry, Valeska. Sorry. Okay, what's going on?
I just feel like every day is getting a little bit harder for me because of the pain, and I'm just really lonely because I've ostracized most people because of this surgery, and I'm just confused.
Okay. Did you talk to your dad at all about helping financially?
Yeah, I was going to go see him. I've got a cold right now, so I was going to, he's old, you know, he's 81. I didn't want to get him sick.
Oh, sure.
But
that's understandable.
I was going to speak
to
him
about it. Huh?
Yeah. Yeah.
That's in the works. That's good. Okay. Well, specifically, well, you go ahead
now.
Go ahead. No, I was just going to ask what her, I mean, question-wise, is there a specific question, or do you just, are you just looking for some feedback?
I'm looking for some guidance. I had, you know, since I was still here, I had called my lawyer that had been working with the malpractice case, and he was like, didn't you get my letter? Which basically he had said that he wasn't going to take the case on because malpractice cases are hard, and he needed a doctor to say that this was, you know, acting under the normal standard care. Mm-hmm. And okay. But we are meeting with a doctor on Tuesday that did say there was no reason for this surgery, and that the doctor, what he told me I had, I did not have. And I just hope that this doctor that we're meeting with will, you know, say that to my lawyer.
Yeah. Are you happy with your lawyer?
Yeah, he's a very nice man. Yeah, his wife actually died because of a misdiagnosis.
Oh, really? So he's really sensitive to this type of situation. He's in the business because...
Yeah, well, that's karmic. That's karmic. You're locked in a karmic battle, Valeska. That's what you're locked in. And the lawyer who came to you is part of the karmic tribal battle. So probably, more than likely, if we're lucky and we don't keep looking at all these disasters in your life, the doctor is going to support the case, say it was unnecessary, back you up. You know, a doctor turning against a doctor kind of is difficult, but there are doctors that will do it. And good, sound doctors will do it, and they have nothing to fear. So if a doctor looks at the case and evaluates it in total and says, no, this was not needed, he has to look at it, check it out, see what was done, our sense is that you're going to get backing. That probably the doctor... Huh?
I didn't hear what you said.
Get backing.
The doctor will support the premise that the surgery was not needed and was also fouled up. Maybe not intentionally, but still up to a lawsuit. Which,
yeah, we're kind of on a time. It has to happen before April 17th, which was when the surgery happened.
Oh, so you have a limited time, a year from the surgery?
So that, what that is, April 17th, that becomes April 17th, you said?
Yes.
That's a 12 or a 3.
And then it was 2017?
It was last year, the surgery, yes.
So 3, 4, 5,
that's
6.
A 13-4. Okay, so that's your
fire number
4. Here's what we cannot promise in a prediction or a sort of enlightened psychic vision. We cannot claim to promise anything, but we can state what we think we see. And what I think I see is $175,000.
Does the lawyer have a projection on what the case could generate if it was successfully?
I think in medical malpractice cases in California, the cap is at 250.
250. So that's in the range.
So if you got 175 and your attorney got a third, you could end up 250. You could end up with 175.
I think that's terrible that they limit it. I mean, when someone's life is so affected, can be so, I mean,
yeah,
by a surgery and then.
Life is forever altered. Yeah, your life is forever altered. And that's the only Yeah, the only
how
compensation.
Can that compensate? I mean, $250,000 is not, you know, going to compensate someone who is permanent limited mobility and pain.
Yeah.
Is there a way to go after the medical group that employed him? I mean,
He has a private practice.
He has a private practice, completely private, because sometimes, you know.
Well, you know, you got to take this with just a certain amount of credibility, because the psychic approach to this question results in a vision that looks to be $175 to you. Now, having said that, you come back later and say $250 is the cap, and if your attorney reaps a third of that, you could end up with $175. Now, that's encouraging. It's not a prediction made in stone. It's a prediction made with some sort of psychic intuition. So you can't hold us responsible, but what looks to be promising is that according to a psychic interpretation, this doctor may back you up, and consequently you would win the cap, and all would be fine in that respect, you know, aside from other wishes or desires you have in life. But again, we're dealing in a very difficult world. It's a psychic vision. And, It's hopeful. And so, you know, we just have to see. We can put energy behind it, Valeska. We know you and we care about you. So we'll put that energy behind it.
You know, I'm wondering, she's saying about feeling isolated and, you know, because she's cut off a lot of the people in her life. I'm wondering if there's some kind of support group for people that are victims of medical malpractice, that I don't know if you'd want to be involved in that. Some people don't want to share their you know, stories about their experience in that regard, but maybe that might be helpful if you want to, you know, connect with people that understand. I don't know if the reason why that you've disconnected from your regular friends is because you feel like they can't relate, but perhaps if you put yourself in a group of people that can,
you know,
there's
a
the
wonderful,
same thing.
It was an old novel. It became a movie with Liza Minnelli called The Sterile Cuckoo. And it was originally a novel, very popular. People who suffer hardships in life, physical hardships, mental hardships, they form beautiful love stories. Another one I remember is David and Lisa. You got to be pretty old to remember these movies, or else you're addicted to TCM. But the quality of grouping, it's a known fact that when people form friendships, they live longer, even beyond family. They've done statistics where people who bond with friends tend to live longer than people who even bond with family members. This is a statistic in Time magazine. So, you know, the bond of friendship is very important. And you are isolated. So if you were really one that was geared to be a hermit you wouldn't be concerned about being isolated. It would be your comfort zone. There are many hermits out in the mountains
right, they
that want to
be
90 years old because they love being alone. You seem to be plagued with isolation somewhat, and your emotions are deepened because of the isolation. And the consequence is that your life took a turn that you weren't expecting, and it's ruined your life. Well, as long as you're living, if you're addressing the idea of loneliness, pain, physical pain, mental pain, loneliness, emotional pain, you must probably, for the best of your best interest, seek people who have gone through their own trials and tribulations, bond with them, see if you can find a significant person or a group, and then continue the process of this lawsuit, as well as, you know, keeping your eyes and ears geared towards the astral realm for any other appropriate release from the planet that might come your way in some fashion. Because we know
I actually
know that you have desires, you know, in such form.
Yeah, that is my time it would. And I know you were talking about signs, and I always have crows around me, like outside my window, and wherever I go, they're like flying above my car or...
Well, crows
symbol.
Yeah, crows have a dichotomy. In one respect, they're considered elements of death. That comes from old folklore, even to the point of Christ's cross crucifixion.
Well, ravens and crows.
Ravens,
right?
And crows. However, in folklore, in fairy tale, crows are guides. They guide the woodsmen in the forest. They're guides and they're friends. They're very intelligent birds. They know human beings by face. Their communication's strong. And even though other birds don't like them,
yeah, they're very,
crows are
they can
very,
be very mischievous.
Oh, they can be terrible to other birds.
Yeah.
But crows as a group support each other. They are lifetime mates. They care for their young. They protect one another. They group. That's why you see congregations of crows. And to human beings, when you have a crow for a friend, it's a blessing because they become a guide. And they're very sharp. They're very alert. They can solve things. You can put a piece of food with a string or a needle or a pen attached, and the crow can figure out that if it takes the pen and puts it in its beak, it can shoot the food over to him where he otherwise wouldn't be able to get it. They're very intelligent birds.
Yeah, we've watched specials on them on PBS. She should really start to research crows and, you know, read about their symbology.
Oh,
actually, we're talking
yeah.
about symbols today after
Animal Spirits by Brian.
What's his name? Ted Andrews.
Ted Andrews.
He's actually deceased, but he's a real authority on...
Excellent.
On
excellent,
animal symbols.
Excellent.
So you can look him up online. There's a lot of material.
And he's got a book he published on animal symbols and animal spirits. That's about a 400-page book that's vastly entertaining and informative.
She can...
In its theories of animal icons and all that kind of thing, totem. But but that's where it's existing. You still have something going on. And I'll say one word to you before we get to the next caller.
We have to get to our topic.
Topic. The name Maxwell, I don't know why it just came up. But the name...
Good Maxwell House. Good to last her up. Maybe she's drinking Maxwell House.
The name Maxwell
Hope
just
not.
Came in. Who the heck knows why? I don't know why.
Anybody that you know by that name?
No. I don't know anybody named Maxwell.
Maybe future?
I don't know. I don't know what it means yet, Valeska. But, you know, when you're doing a psychic reading, when images come to a person that's doing the reading, you don't ignore it. You put it out there. It may connect. It may not. But, you know, it's funny because I think of The Catcher in the Rye and the main character. And... I don't know. That was a pretty J.D. Salinger, Ann Beattie was a woman who stayed with him. You kind of start to think about what, you know, where the name could be leading us. And then Kristen mentioned something about coffee. I don't know. It's sort of like a detective treasure hunt in a way. Are you a favorite of old movies?
I mean, not particularly, but I'll watch them.
How about Humphrey Bogart? Did you ever see a movie with Humphrey Bogart in it?
I don't recall one, but I have, no.
Okay. You're born in 79?
79.
Yeah.
79. You're born in 79. Now, you know what's weird in this particular radio reading is that something seems to be out there that is pulling something. I'm going to just say things to you. You just say, yeah, it means something. No, it means nothing. The Sound of Music.
Okay. No.
No?
No.
Julie Andrews?
No.
Do you know that she was injured in a surgery?
I
That's
didn't know
weird.
That.
Yeah. So Julie Andrews, which is very tragic, my God, I can't even imagine, but she went into surgery for her throat, something for her throat, and she was, her ability to sing was completely wiped out by the surgery.
I didn't know
she was
that.
Never able to sing again. She can't sing anymore.
I didn't know that.
Yeah.
See? Okay, so why don't you look up her case? Why don't you do some research and look up her case and what she did with her experience and whether she was successful or not in a lawsuit? Just take the information at hand and impress upon your attorney to do some research too on case incidences where doctors made a mistake during surgery and caused unnecessary pain or injury to the patient. So you could look up some case studies yourself and maybe obtain enough information, if it hasn't already been done, which I would think it would, that you could present to your attorney, look, we have some cases here we could back this up on. Because whenever you have a case that wins in court,
yeah, it's a precedent.
Boy, you're in good shape. So,
so
you
I'm
need to do a little
to,
bit of research.
I'm going to have to go through with this lawsuit before I'm able to leave.
We don't
know.
I
mean, that's unknown. The leaving is an unknown. If there's still things for you to deal with on the planet, that's why you're still here.
Yeah, we can't answer that.
You're still on the planet. What I was saying is if you're still on the planet, obviously there's things that you need to deal with on the planet. I mean, the release from the planet is an unknown factor in terms of your saga.
We have no trouble with you being pulled to the other side by an angel or a spirit in your sleep upon your request. We have no problem with that. And as psychics, we, you know, if your wish is to be removed by an angel or a spirit, to be removed so you can cross over, and you do so in a natural way, it just occurs in your sleep. You don't induce it. You don't hurt yourself further. You don't commit suicide or you don't take a bottle of pills. Do not do those things. But if your request is to be taken in your sleep by an angel, now I lay me down to sleep, pray to the Lord my soul to keep. If I should die before I wake, pray my soul, pray that God, for, I don't know, doesn't make a mistake. I don't know.
No, that's not quite how it goes.
Yeah.
But we
but
can
anyways,
tell that you didn't
you
use that prayer when you were a child.
We can't be on a radio and suggest that you kill yourself. We cannot do that.
No,
but
no,
I think
I'm not suggesting that.
We can say if an angel wants to take you,
but
I
think it's important, though, because she's saying, well, you know, I'm waiting to go. I'm waiting. Being active, I know it's difficult, Valeska, for you in your physical state to be active. However, you know, if you're on the planet, you've got to move forward with whatever is facing you. In terms of the lawsuit, that's what is, you know, coming up in your life. You've got
yeah.
to move forward.
You
know
we,
I would like to leave the planet too. I mean, I would like to leave the planet
transcend, get out
right
here,
now, and I would abandon everything to
yeah.
do it. But we, you know,
we're
active. We have things to do.
Yeah, I mean, you know, the other side, like even Billy Graham said, I can't wait. I'm not dying. I'm taking another journey. I can't wait to get over there. I mean, what is
yeah.
he now committing a sin by saying it? Of course not. So you do your work. We don't know we're not stopping some, you know, transformation or transition to the other side for you. But we're saying that as long as you're here, figure it out. And maybe that might impede your...
you mean not impede.
Not impede.
Well, it might...
Accelerate.
Accelerate the process. Hopefully we're
yeah.
accelerating our process by our activity,
yeah.
you know?
You know, Chris and I do not want to leave the planet until we've done all the work. We don't want to get up there and go, oh, you forgot to do this. Oh, you didn't do that. Oh, you went too soon. We want to get the work done.
I guess
and
I just feel complete in my work. That's why.
What, I say that again, Valeska?
I feel complete in my work. That's why.
Well
if,
then they'll take you. If
you're complete,
true,
they will
take
you.
You know, it's funny. I mean, you may feel that way. I feel that way.
Yeah, I mean,
I feel like I've done enough.
You're right.
You know,
that's you know.
You know, we're not that far apart in our thinking about life, but you know, when you're on the planet, it can be a challenge, and it's a matter of, you know, you got to remember too that we all face death. And death is the death of the self. You're no longer a person. You're gone. That's it. And it's the death of consciousness, at least on an earthly plane. You're gone. That's it. So we all have this notion or idea that we're all going to die. Some relish it, some despair, some avoid it, and some go, well, if it's going to happen, I'm going to live life to the fullest until I'm going, until the death of myself is done with. And you can no longer find me here. I'm gone. That's going to happen. Ultimately, it will happen, Valeska. But remember that the rise of your consciousness upon leaving the earth will be the most important factor.
The rise of my consciousness?
What's that?
I can't hear you.
The rise of my consciousness?
The rise of your consciousness upon the planet will be the most important factor you leave with, because that consciousness will be carried over with your soul, and your soul is dependent upon the rise of your consciousness and the rise of your identity of self. That's what your soul carries with you outside of your body. So if you have this journey that you have to raise your consciousness a little bit more, and the universe has deemed it to be a process of medical examination or injury, then that might be the last raise of your consciousness you may need to do. So why not do it? Just to make sure that when you slip over, you've done it all.
Right.
Better to be careful than careless.
Okay.
That's what I would do. If I were in your shoes, that's what I would do.
Okay.
With your mindset, if I was in your shoes, that's what I would do.
Go forward with the medical malpractice suit?
Yeah. Definitely. Definitely follow that through. If you're still here, then maybe that's part of the work that needs to be completed. Who knows? I mean, it may not even go to trial. But as long as you're moving forward and putting your energy into something, you know, that's important while you're here, rather than, you know, sitting and waiting to go, then that's, you know, that's going to be probably viewed better once you get up there.
All right.
Okay, Valeska.
Thank you so much. Okay, thank you.
Yeah. Tough topic.
Right, because it's part of the evaluation, you know. It's part of the evaluation. Once you get up to that realm, you're going to be, you know, all your actions on the planet are going to be a part of
evaluation
as well as the past lives. And so you want to make sure that you're doing as much as you can, as much as physically possible, until the point that you expire.
You want to live life to the fullest. And that's just
and
doesn't
not,
mean
it doesn't mean
list.
Having a right, exactly. Vacationing, which is, I mean, all fine, of course, but this is about active participation
the
in
active
the betterment in the of the planet, humanity.
Well, it's
life,
a good word. The active participation of consciousness, the idea that existence is contingent on the breath, and we have a physical breath that ultimately expands into a spiritual breath that ultimately expands into the breath of the soul. Breathe, and he became a living soul. If you're a living soul, you cannot
destroy.
We're
back destruct. In Genesis.
Yeah. You can't be destroyed. Only the body can be destroyed. The soul can't be. But it becomes a living soul, meaning that it never expires. It never expires. It goes on and on and on. When it's no longer back into the planet, and one is intent upon experiencing the astral realm without having returned to the planet, that living soul must release itself from the planet entirely by having finished, completed, it is finished, by having finished and completed all the work that is necessary, that it involves the accumulation of karma from past lives. And if karma from past lives has resulted in, if karma in past lives has resulted in personal injury or difficulties or loneliness, those are the things that one must
work through
in order to transcend to the next realm.
Okay, we're out of time. We did not get to our discussion, but we will do so on Wednesday. We thank our callers and listeners for participating. Have a great weekend. We're getting rain this weekend, so very happy about that. Hope you have a nice weather on you, everyone. Bye-bye.